What is going on, everybody? This is Flapjack Steve, and you are tuned into According to Flapjack, just random sports podcasts that we do here on random days. I have a very special guest with me today. It is Father Flapjack, I think we're going to go with today. It's my dad, Steve. We're going to do just a little kind of background as to what got us into sports, how he got into sports, which obviously turned me into getting into sports. And then we'll finish off with some NFL stuff, mainly just our division winners and losers. And maybe we'll throw some record predictions in there just to make it interesting. But let's start off with that. Pops, first of all, you are my dad, but your dad was also a huge football guy.
Yes, he was.
Mainly football, but sports in general.
Yes.
So why don't you tell us how you got into sports?
I think that his love for the Eagles really impacted me in a great way when I was a young man. And, you know, the Eagles back then were either fantastic or an incredible bunch of bums. And it was just one extreme to the other.
Sure.
And nothing in between. You know, we did have a championship season, 1960, which was a big boost to our family. Unfortunately, it was about five decades before we felt that boost again. Fortunately, we shared that moment.
And yes.
It was an amazing time.
Yes,
no question
indeed.
About it. Indeed. That's what makes this year so exciting. It's the first time in over five decades where I said, this is our year.
Right.
And
it worked.
It could
right?
happen. Yeah.
Yeah. That is, that's technically not how it works for us normally.
That's right.
We're normally pretty interested in saying it's our year.
That's
and
right.
Lots of times, I mean, man, we had, you know, Vince Young dubbing us the dream team, which, I mean, pretty much cursed us from the beginning.
Yes.
But that was supposed to be a real good team. And then none of those guys worked out at all. I mean, honestly, it's been like what mainly secondary issues or offensive line issues or, I mean, really secondary, though. It's been like where secondary's gone to die recently. And then
All
of a sudden last year they were able to put it together. Although Brady torched us in the Super Bowl, but they were able to stop it just enough that we could pull it off. So well, the Eagles, obviously, and like I told everybody on the last podcast, we're mainly Philadelphia fans.
Absolutely.
Through everything.
Absolutely.
So,
but it goes Phillies to show you that's just one great play. At the right time.
Oh, yeah.
It's just one great play.
And that's
at the
all
right
it
time.
Takes. That's all it takes. So you were mainly Eagles growing up, but obviously Phillies, 76ers. I mean, you did have some good 76ers teams there.
Oh, my gosh, no doubt.
When the Eagles were shit.
Yeah.
And the Phillies, too. The Phillies were okay in that same kind of time frame.
Actually, more so than anything, it was the Phillies.
Sure.
We would leave the home with the TV off. We would come home from whatever we were doing, and the Phillies would be on the TV playing. It happened to me as a youngster so many times, I thought that was just perfectly normal.
Sure.
We always had the Phillies on.
Oh, yeah.
And so it really was an amazing time for the Phillies in the early 70s. You know, Mike Schmidt, my all-time favorite Philly.
Sure.
Was killing it, Steve Carlton. I mean, it was really just an amazing time for the Phillies.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and then besides that, I mean, that same time frame for the Sixers, you know, Cheeks and
Dr. J.
Dr. J, of course. Can't leave him out. Malone, of course. All those guys.
Yes.
So, but being a Philadelphia fan, and anybody that is a Philadelphia fan that's going to listen to this is going to know exactly what we're talking about because it's always a bridesmaid. Always a bridesmaid. And, like, you know, obviously, the Phillies going to multiple World Series through that time frame.
Yes.
The Sixers. I mean, granted, they were taking championships home at some point.
Yes.
But there was a lot of times where you're like, oh, this team is way too talented to not make the playoffs. Or not make the playoffs.
Boston
or to
was
get,
killing us back.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah. You know, Larry Bird and his crew. And
yes.
Actually, that was way before we're skipping time generations there. But anyway, that's how long Boston's been beating the shit out of us in basketball. And we got to relive that this year in the playoffs. So that was enjoyable for all of us. So you were basically, I guess we should get back to where in Philadelphia your family's from.
We are from South Philly, 17th and Tasker.
Okay.
That is the old Italian neighborhood. Matter of fact, I recently had an opportunity to run back through that neighborhood.
Sure.
And it was unrecognizable. And of course, it's been several decades since
I've
been home. So, but what a thrill to walk through that neighborhood.
Oh, I bet.
And get a taste of Philly. It was amazing.
Sure.
It was amazing.
And if I remember right, you were there for the Raiders game.
That's correct.
Raiders Christmas Eagles Day. Game on yes. Christmas Day.
Where I saw an amazing Nick Foles.
Sure.
That, yeah.
Yeah, amazing everybody.
I was a little bit panicked after sure. watching him play that game and thinking the stage is too big for him.
Sure.
Yes, he did get the win. You know,
he did.
He clinched the playoffs.
He did take the W.
Home field. But he did not play well.
Sure.
And so I was a little concerned.
It was bitterly cold, though, wasn't it? I mean, it was, you're talking like single digits, if
yes.
not negative degrees.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So it's hard to judge a guy, you know, on that. But I know exactly what you're saying because I remember talking to you after the game, and I was like, this isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, we just threw a whole good year away. We're going to have a shitty draft pick, and we're not going to get anywhere in the playoffs.
Exactly.
So I know exactly what you're talking about. So your family's from Philly. How long did you live in Philly?
Till I was 13.
Okay. So you were there. I mentioned last time, I've never lived in Philly, but of course, when your family grows up in Philly, you're kind of born into that.
Yes, you are.
Born into that generational, you know, fandom. And
it's all you've ever known.
That's it. So, you know, we like to joke around, but it's legit that I left the hospital in the Eagles onesie.
Yes.
That's just how it was. So
yes.
I've grown up being an Eagles fan. I mean, really, really digging in. I think when me and you really started to get into football together, I was probably 8 or 9 years old,
yes.
I think, is when we finally convinced Mom to let me stay up for Monday Night Football and, you know, not have to go to bed at 9 o'clock. And at halftime, it's, you know, it's
yep.
whatever. So, you know, we've grown up with that whole thought process of being just Philadelphia fans. That's just what it is. And, you know, the problem with now winning the Super Bowl is you get a lot of this, you're all fair weather fans
yeah.
thing, which is the most ridiculous statement on the planet. Even, I don't think anybody likes the Eagles that aren't Eagles fans.
Yes.
I think we had a lot of fans jump on the wagon because we were playing the Patriots.
I welcome them.
Which is helpful.
Come on down.
Come on over. No problem. You can hang out with us for a little bit because you'll leave as soon as we suck.
That's
again.
Right.
So, you know, but regardless, like, I don't think people understand or can, you know, have any sort of compassion for being, you know, I'm 30 years old, like, or I'll be 30 next year, like 29 years of watching the Eagles lose.
Yes.
You know, and most of those years were, like, we had really bad years for a lot of that, and then we had a bunch of really good years with Andy Reid.
Thank you, Andy.
And, you know, went to one Super Bowl.
Yes.
Which was great until Donovan choked.
Yes.
And, actually, I think it was a mixture of Donovan and Andy, but you
yeah.
know, time clock management has never been Andy Reid's strong point. So
those two were tied at the hip.
Yes,
anyway, so.
They were very, very yeah. connected on that. So let's step backwards just a little bit. So you instill this fanhood in me, and we watch basically everything: baseball, football, basketball, hockey.
Yes.
I always leave the Flyers out. The 70s for the Flyers obviously were a great time too.
It
so
was.
You know, you actually were around when they took home cups.
That's right.
Which to me is the greatest thing ever. Like, I don't know where my, like, hockey is almost up there, like, second place for me behind the Eagles, which I know it's not the case for you.
Right.
You know, I think Phillies are probably your
yes.
second, you know, and obviously I love baseball, grew up playing baseball and all that, but my love for the Flyers is really, really strong. So
yes.
seeing them, you know, I'm envious that you got to watch them win cups. And I'm envious that you got to watch Bobby Clark and the Hammer and the Broad Street Bullies teams.
Man.
Ron Hextall is probably what I'm most jealous about.
Yep. Yep.
Because that dude, I mean, watching a goalie slash somebody in the shin for going across the crease is the greatest thing I've ever seen. And nowadays, it's kind of, it's softened up a little bit, let's say. You
yeah,
know,
yeah.
everything is a penalty nowadays.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so you had good years with pretty much all those teams right there in the 70s range, minus the Eagles, you know, 70s and 80s, would
yeah.
say. I mean, stretched between that, pretty much all those teams were good.
Yes.
Or had strung together a couple good years.
In 1980,
so,
we had three championships in
right.
the same year. The Eagles went to the championship game.
Sure,
you know,
played the Raiders.
So we just
yeah.
had a ridiculous year. If you were not a diehard fan at that point,
yeah.
you were sold right then and
oh,
there.
Oh, sure.
That was it. So, yeah, we've had some really amazing years. But as typical fans,
mm-hmm.
we do focus on the losing.
Yes. And,
because there's a lot more of it
right.
in our history than winning. So,
well, I think nowadays, like, you got, you know, people comparing it to, like, this Patriots dynasty, and, like, that's just not a realistic thing. Like, what they've done, as much as I hate the Patriots, like, mm-hmm. what they've been able to string together for 14 years or whatever the hell they're at now is insane.
It is.
You know, and it's been, I guess it'd be, what, 16 years, 17 years?
Yes.
Because we played them in 04 when they snapped their third ring.
Yes.
So really be, I guess, 01 when they beat the Rams, when Tom Brady and nobody's like, they ain't beating the greatest show on turf. That's not happening. And they, Vinatieri kicking that field goal. So I guess, yeah, for almost 17 years they've put together what that is. And now, if you want a team with a lot of fair weather fans, obviously yeah. it's easy to go root for the Patriots. Yes. Like, you know, for me, like, to talk football with people, I want to talk to Browns fans or Bengals fans, shit, even Tampa Bay Raiders, like those teams that have, yes, they have championships, mm-hmm. or in some of their cases, obviously Cleveland has been a you know, a struggle, and there's teams that obviously have never even sniffed the Super Bowl, you yep. know, Jacksonville, and, you know, I guess you could throw Titans in there since, you know, they're a newer franchise, but
there's some promise, you know, out there, though.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I think with what the Patriots are doing currently, they're kind of imploding a little bit. And I know, like, they get away with this every year. Like, yes. it seems like there's all sorts of shit surrounding them. And then, you know, halfway through the season, they're, you know, winning record and there's no problems and they've lost one game and people aren't worried about it anymore.
And with all due respect certainly to the Patriots, they are in the worst division in football.
Correct.
Okay. So, yeah. So really, you know, they've got 5 wins to start the season.
Right.
They've got 5 wins in their pocket already.
Oh, yeah.
So they are afforded an opportunity to stumble out of the gate, so to speak, and recover, because all they really need to do is get to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Okay. Now they shine.
Oh, yeah.
They rock and roll once they get there.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, again, stumbling out of the gate for them,
not a big deal.
Not a big deal.
Nobody's really worried about it. So it's, you know, those guys are, those fans are lucky, like, in my opinion, you know.
Yes.
And same thing, like, now, like, if you're a legit Boston fan, like, and you struggled through, you know, those god-awful white jerseys where mm-hmm. they looked like a JV high school team for most of that generation, and the Red Sox obviously were terrible for 800 years, and you know, the Celtics got really bad there for a huge chunk of time.
Yeah, after their monster heydays in the early 80s, yes.
They just got okay.
Yeah.
And same thing with hockey. You know, the Bruins were pretty irrelevant there for a while after Orr and all those guys. So,
which even sounds funny.
Right.
Irrelevant.
You're like, wait, the Bruins? Hold up now. So, you know, it's difficult to compare fandom with those guys, but I know that a lot of those guys have gone through the same stuff we have.
You bet.
It's just they've been fortunate enough to have this kind of team. And that's how I feel with the Eagles. Like, honestly, if Wentz can come back, like, close to 80% of what he was last year, he's still going to be phenomenal.
Oh, yes.
And the weapons they've stacked around him now, like, with... Oh, did you see today they locked up Peterson through 2022?
I did.
And Roseman. I forgot about that. So they're making more of a play for a run, in my opinion, than they have in other years where it was like, yo, we got to stack up on enough talent, uh-huh. and hopefully this gets us to where we want to go for a year.
I hope we're taking a huge chunk out of the playbook of the Patriots.
Sure.
And what they have is consistency.
Right.
Now, our winningest years in my lifetime, because, you know, certainly prior to Super Bowl, we didn't have a lot of consistency there. But since then, Andy Reid has been the man. He had a very consistent tenure.
Oh,
now,
sure.
Yeah, he had some really bad years in between. But all in all, he's the winningest coach in Philadelphia Eagles history. He got there to 100 wins faster than any other coach ever will, probably.
Oh, yeah.
He really did a lot of great things, but he did not bring home that ring.
Correct.
But the one thing that kept them together that whole time was consistency.
Yes.
Okay. So now I think that's what we're looking at right now by wrapping up, especially Roseman.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, what he did last year was amazing.
He's good. He's good.
He hit on a lot, and I think, like, coming back after the Chip Kelly disaster for him was probably like I'm going to show you what you guys gave up by wanting to let him have the reins. And it was pretty obvious. Like, Chip kind of, it's hard to look back now because we got a ring to be like, well, F Chip and never should have blown that team up. And who knows? Like, if he doesn't blow that team up, are we mediocre with the still better than mediocre, but still just get to the playoffs and lose team for the next 5 years instead? And, you know, we're still under, you know, under same coaching and like, I don't know. So looking backwards, you're kind of like, well, I'm glad that happened because then Peterson comes into town. And I remember, you know, not this previous year, but year before that, Peterson's first year, and people were not pleased.
No.
They were not a huge fan of Peterson. And I don't know if that put a little chip on his shoulder because he was a lot more aggressive this year than he was that first year. And, you know, looking backwards, he was still aggressive. And I think that's why people were having issues with him. Like, I specifically remember a negative 7-yard screen pass to Darren Sproles that took us out of field goal range in Dallas when we could have sealed the game.
Yes.
When you're like, just run the damn ball. Yeah. What are you doing? So, you know, I think that, like, Andy Reid, and obviously Peterson being a product of the Andy Reid tree, which is helpful.
Yes.
You know, what they did to Andy Reid towards the end of his tenure, I think, was a little wrong. Yeah. Like, it's almost like they forgot, like, how bad it was before he got there.
Exactly.
And, you know, this is the same fans that booed McNabb, like, when he got drafted. I mean, this isn't a shocking revelation, you know.
What's hilarious about that is in 1999, Reed's first year, his starting quarterback, Peterson.
Oh, yes, that's right. That's right. And,
so he does have a lot of tendencies from Reed because they have been together forever. They coached together in Philadelphia. They coached together in Kansas City.
Yep.
He comes back to Philadelphia. And then he does a lot of those, excuse the term, Reed-esque type calls. And it's almost like, you know, a brain fart right in the middle of the game. Oh, man, I didn't need to do that. Even in the Super Bowl with, you know, the 2-minute warning coming up.
Yeah.
He chose to run the ball when clearly he should have passed the ball.
Sure.
It's just a Reed moment.
Oh, yeah.
Now, we were able to overcome that, but that's what the fans were looking at. Oh, my gosh.
Sure.
This is another Andy Reid situation where we're going to win a lot of games, but that means that every year we're going to have a crappy draft. We are, you know, you never really get ahead when you're in the middle or in the back of the pack.
I mean, right.
You know, you got to be horrible to get ahead.
Well, and even then, you don't, I mean, you're so bad, you get a good draft pick, but you're still so bad.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason that these teams, like, I'm not going to throw Cleveland in that because they're ran like a freight train and it's awful to begin with. So I'm not going to say, like, hey, the last 12 draft picks that Cleveland has been awful, because that's pretty much what it is at this point.
Yeah.
First round draft picks anyway. But, like, there's a reason the bottom five of the NFL stay the bottom five for the most part. Like, and then they flip-flop here and there, but it's normally you get 5 to 6 years where it's the same.
Right.
You know, so I think a lot of us, me included, because after that play in Dallas, I was like, this bum is another Andy Reid product that's just going to be that.
Yes.
You know, and then I know, like, we were expecting Wentz to be, I mean, I was expecting him to be good.
Yes.
But not as good as he was last year.
Agree. Like, absolutely agree.
He blew my mind last year, and it could be a good thing, could be a bad thing, because now the expectation is there. Like, we've seen what you can do, but the kid seems to have it. Like, mentally, obviously physically, that's not even a question now. Once he rehabs his knee, he'll be back to...
Yeah.
I'm hoping he'll run a little safer, but honestly, like, the players that try to protect themselves are the ones that normally get hurt.
Yes,
because they get away
it's
from
true.
What made but them loosey goosey.
Please, Wentz, learn to slide. Please.
Yes. Especially when you're that close to the end zone, just slide in. We'll run it in the next play.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? But I love the kid's passion, and man, he wanted that touchdown. He wanted that touchdown. Yep. I don't know how many quarterbacks would dive headfirst between three defenders going into the end zone, because that's not a. That's not a common fault.
No.
So, anyway, that was this year. But let's say, let's go back to where I started to be a fan, like a deeper fan. And that's when the McNabb era started, basically, for me, as far as I can remember back to being that. And, you know, I was a big McNabb fan. I know you were a big McNabb fan.
Absolutely.
And every piece they put around him seemed to be great, but not great enough to push us over the edge.
Receiver.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, when you have James Thrash and, you know what, Freddie Mitchell. And I was a huge Freddie Mitchell fan. Like, yes. I was probably the only person on the planet that was a massive Freddie Mitchell fan. But I love that dude, but nowhere in hell should he been a number one receiver. And exactly. Yeah, Pinkston, I forgot about him. That shows you how much that is. But they were, you know, it was frustrating with Westbrook. And, you know, obviously Donovan was a hell of a quarterback then.
Dawkins in the back.
That defense, that's where I was going next. That defense alone was just ridiculous.
Jim Johnson, like, unbelievable to coach.
That dude, I don't think there'll ever be another defensive coach like him.
Nope.
And if they could have had the offense, like the actual offense to match that defense, you're probably talking at least three rings.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Know? Absolutely. But, you know, taking, I don't know if there's ever going to be a coach like him, but the coach that I watch, because of his tree with Philadelphia, is Spagnuolo with the Giants.
Sure.
And, of course, he's a Jim Johnson. You know,
oh, yes. I
mean, they grew up together. So, and I'm watching the Giants pretty closely this year.
You know, oh, yeah.
They got my boy Saquon.
Yes.
I'm pretty upset about that.
Unfortunately, I was really hoping Cleveland was going to pull the trigger.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I was like, well, you got another Cleveland fan. I might buy a Saquon jersey for sure. So, I'm with you, though. I think we'll get into this in just a little bit with our ratings of teams and who we think. But the Giants are definitely not a two-win team this year.
That's
I will
right.
say that for sure.
You got that right.
So we grew up, I mean, we were into sports, playing sports, listening to sports, watching sports. I remember calling into talk shows with you when I was like 10 or 11 years old and we're, you know, listening to them and talking
about
them.
And you were every bit as knowledgeable as any other caller there, that's for sure.
We tried. Yeah. We tried. I got some lucky background from growing up. But, you know, for whatever reason, like sports, I think always – A, brought our family closer together, and me and you specifically,
definitely.
Like, even now, if, you know, if we spent a week not talking, like, we see each other, and that's the first thing we talk about. It wasn't like, what's going on at work, or how's your week at work, or whatever. It's like, oh, did you see that the Eagles did this, or did you see that the NFL is putting all these new rules in the play? And that's where we go to, like, it's just more fitting for us to go there.
Yes. It's our comfort zone.
Yes, exactly. So it's fun to go there. And, you know, I think even, you know, obviously with your dad passing away, like, it was hard for us to cope with that, I think, because I remember watching football at their house.
Yes.
And especially the Super Bowl, like specifically the Super Bowl. That's where we were. You know, and every time they played the Broncos, that's where we were because Grandma's a Broncos fan and we wanted to, you know, although I think I can count on like one hand the times we beat them every time we were there. But, you know, it was frustrating for me that we never got to go. Like, I know me and you have been now in person and we went and watched them, and that was with Vic and they got trounced. I mean, the Peyton-led Broncos that, you know.
That was his 50-plus
correct.
Touchdown
that
year,
was that. So, you know, we were kind of expecting that on its own. But it's frustrating that we never got to be where we are now, like, with him. Like, you know, you say, like, oh, you know, he was able to witness it with us this year or whatever. But all I could think about is how much more special it would have been if he was still around.
Agreed.
You know?
Absolutely.
Like,
He led Eagles Green in a big way.
And he was the same way, you know, like, obviously you own the sub shop here in Colorado Springs and Trevelli's Hoagies, if you guys aren't aware of that, Philadelphia-style cheesesteaks, sandwiches, hoagies all over the place. So that new location is opening up, and once that's going on, you guys will hear about it. But every day we worked in the shop, like, obviously I grew up working in the shop, and same thing, he would come in and let's talk about sports, and that's how it was. Like, that's all we talked about. So, like, I think being – that's where you got your fandom from, no doubt. And I know your brothers and sisters, and they didn't get that, which is the weirdest thing for me. You know, like, you think that growing up, you're into sports a ton, but you were the only one that really, I guess, really took a hold of it.
I think we were all introduced to sports, and I'm referring to playing, of course.
Sure.
At a very early age, but I was the only one that really took to it.
Okay.
So I was your typical jock. Through school. Now, I didn't attain, you know, scholarship level like you did.
Sure.
But I was a pretty good athlete.
Okay.
And I really had a passion for sports, not just watching, but playing as well.
Yeah.
So, but my brothers just never did take to it. They were not athletic that way. They just didn't have that desire.
Sure. You know?
But my father and I had that in common. And then we worked together at the sub shop all the time.
Right.
Of course, our biggest bond is family, but his and my bond were the Eagles.
Right.
You know, he was all Eagles all the time. He left me a collection when he passed away of probably about 70 hats.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And because you passed a couple of those on to me.
Yeah, that's so. Right. I mean, who has 70 Eagles hats, you know?
It's insane.
But that shows a little bit about his passion. For the Eagles, and he had to have every single hat. The jacket comes out, he had to get a new one.
Yep. Know?
He had the new colors, he had the old colors.
Yes.
You know, he was all in, and I followed in the footsteps.
Yep.
It's fun.
We have to. I mean, like, if we were going to say tomorrow, like, you can only root for one team for the rest of your life, I think, first of all, both of us, it's going to be the Eagles.
Like, yes.
It would be heartbreaking to not be able to watch other stuff, but it would be way more heartbreaking to not be able to watch the Eagles.
Oh, man, no kidding.
So, yeah, you know, like, plus they're exciting. Like, they've gotten to a point now where you're like, this is really exciting, you know, to be able to witness what they're doing. And, you know, interesting enough, I read an article the other day about what's left over from Chip Kelly,
uh-huh,
as far as, like, the training. And, you know, the smoothies were, like, a huge deal. Like, everyone had special smoothies, and it was, like, this massive deal. And now the whole NFL does it. But
right.
They still have that. The nutritionist is still the same from when Chip Kelly was there. Not much else is. But, you know, like, so you look back at these little snippets, and you can say the same thing from older coaches. Like, little snippets that made the next team better.
Yes.
Like, yes. And you didn't see it at the time. Like, I wanted to personally fly to Philly and strangle Chip Kelly when he got rid of DeSean Jackson and LeSean McCoy Jeremy Maclin. They didn't want to pay him.
Yep.
And, like, looking now, like, the Maclin thing was a blessing in disguise because he didn't even live out that contract in Kansas City.
No, he did not. Yeah.
And nowhere near being up to that par being paid. Now, when you're playing for somebody like Alex Smith as a quarterback, who doesn't necessarily like to sling the ball. Like, he's more of a, you know, 10, 15-yard kind of pass guy.
Yes.
It's hard to put up numbers. Like, even Vic, when we had Vic with Maclin, would check the ball downfield. So,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, he let it fly. So, like, but the DeSean Jackson thing still to this day, like, irks the shit out of me.
Yes.
Like, you know me. Like, I had his jersey. Like, yep. He was my favorite player. Like, and I was, like, so irritated. Like, so irritated. And I feel bad for him because I feel like if that never happened, he would still be in Philly. He would have got a bigger contract. Yes. We would have had a downfield threat that wasn't Torrey freaking Smith last year, which, don't get me wrong, he showed up in the playoffs, like, thank God, yes, compared to the whole season. Like, I was like, oh, this is just not good. So, like, it's funny to look back at those snippets and see, like, these guys that have all, you know, kind of rolled in. And, you know, like, specifically that era where it was Westbrook and the shitty receivers and McNabb, and then the defensive side, you know, yeah, Sheldon Brown and Lito Shepard, obviously Jeremiah Trotter. Like, you had guys that you knew were, like, they were there, yes, and they were Philly. And, like, Dawkins, obviously, he's on a whole nother level, and we got to listen to his Hall of Fame speech.
Yes.
I don't know if you've had a chance to listen to it yet. It's emotional. Like,
I bet.
And people are like, well, how can you be emotional over a guy talking? I'm like, well, go listen to it and watch the crowd, because every Eagles fan in there is blotting their eyes. And, like, he was the perfect picture of what Philadelphia football was about. Like, there's not a person in Philadelphia that would tell you they didn't like Dawkins,
yep,
or didn't like how he played. Love exactly. You still go to games, and his jersey is probably the most popular jersey there.
Yes.
He's probably rivaled by Wentz now.
Yeah.
But, you know, you would think, like, you'd see a lot of McNabb and Westbrook, and you see a fair number of those guys.
You do.
But Dawkins, I have a Dawkins Broncos jersey, and I hate the freaking Broncos.
I almost bought one of those myself.
Yeah. Right. And I hate the Broncos. I know you're a Broncos fan, like, secondary Broncos fan, because we live here and have lived here most of our lives. So But for me, I hate the Broncos, and for me to buy a jersey literally just because it's Dawkins is enough, you know, enough to say what he was about. But man, that whole defense was Philadelphia yes. football, and it's frustrating for me that they never got a ring. Yeah. You know, I know Dawkins got a ring, an honorary ring, you know, but it would have been a lot more special if we could have got those guys
a
ring to put on. Yeah. Right. And same with Trotter. Like, I remember, you know, him being on the cover of Sports Illustrated when we went to the Super Bowl.
That's right.
Dancing into the Super Bowl, I think is what
that's right, exactly.
what the cover said, you know, and he was a stud, you know, and it's, you look back and you're like, man, those guys, every single one of those guys deserved a ring.
Yes.
You know, and honestly, like, I don't know. There's all sorts of, you know, theories out there of what happened at the end of the game where we were just kind of, you know, walking around and like the NFL wanted a dynasty. So I don't buy into all that crap. Like, me, it looks like a typical Andy Reid, like brain yes. fart moment and Donovan McNabb overthrowing a receiver. Like, that's what it came down to.
It's that
you
simple.
Know, you overthrow a receiver in the Super Bowl, it's getting picked.
Yeah.
Especially that Patriots defense. They've not had a defense since then either. No. So, you know, at least not one that good, in my opinion.
That corner who picked that pass, Asante Samuel.
Yeah.
Probably the best corner they've ever had.
Oh, yeah.
Who we picked up next year later.
Yeah, they were.
Which is a great pick up for us.
Get over here. we're never going to forgive you for that, but get over here. Yeah. And that was Ty Law, safety-wise, right? Wasn't he on that yes. same squad?
Yes, he was.
And then Brewski. Yep. Like, that defense was brutal.
Yep.
That defense was absolutely brutal. So, you know, it's not like we went and choked to a team that didn't have a ton of talent.
No, not at all.
It was definitely like that. So, we've been through that. We've been through the Flyers in 2010 losing to Chicago, which I don't think I've legit cried over a sports loss until that game. Because that game, actually just that goal.
Yes.
The fluke goal. Like, I felt for Michael Layton like more than I've probably ever felt for another sports player in that moment. Because that's one of those goals that you're going to get blamed for.
Yes.
But that's just so fluky that it had to happen in game 6 of the fucking Stanley Cup. You know, like, just so frustrating beyond belief. So, like, you know, for me being as big of a Flyers fan as I am, I want that cup to come home.
Yes.
And I want to witness that as much as I wanted to witness a Super Bowl. Yeah. But if I had to pick one, the Super Bowl was it.
You got your Super Bowl. We right now have a very young Flyers team.
Yes. Very young.
There's some promise.
Very young.
It's not going to be this year.
No.
But we have some promise.
I am not a Hextall fan at all. And we're going to get into hockey probably in a few podcasts from now, so I won't go off on a tangent on how much I hate Hextall. But he does have a talent for getting some of these young kids to play up to their level, but he also cuts the leash extremely short.
Yes.
So, you know, I feel for these kids, and I don't want Carter Hart to come up under Hextall, because if he lets in a few bad goals and Hextall decides that Hart isn't ready yet and sends him back down, that's going to destroy his confidence.
Yeah.
And that kid is going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, like, I agree.
He is going to be probably the best goalie that we've ever seen in Philadelphia, with the exception of Bernie Parent. I don't have those comparisons, unfortunately. Yeah. And obviously the Pelly story is extremely heartbreaking.
Yes, tragic.
You know, and same with, you know, it's just, you know, it's frustrating on that level because he's definitely a cup caliber.
Oh, yeah.
Cup caliber goalie.
Yes.
And, you know, Bernie obviously was probably the best goalie to ever put on the pads. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I'm not excited for him to come up and have a bad game under Hextall's direction.
Yeah.
So we'll leave that there. You know, Hextall, obviously, of course.
Oh, like, yeah.
Speaking of frustrations that they never won a cup with him, you know, those teams are what got me absolutely beyond pumped to be a Flyers fan. Like, obviously, Eric Lindros is my ultimate Flyers player.
Yes.
And we're going off on a tangent on hockey again, just like I said, I wasn't going to do. So, anyway, we're going to get back to football. That's a little bit of backstory, and we'll do probably a couple series of backstories because it's hard to go in an hour show. It's hard to go through what got us all into football other than just the short snippet that we went into now. So let's get into some current football stuff.
Yes.
This whole podcast is going to be pretty much football centric. I know I laid out my predictions for each division, and we'll play off those a little bit together. Let's just start it off with obviously our division, the NFC East. I have the Eagles going back, obviously, as the champs of the NFC East, no problem. I think 11 and 5 is probably where I'm going to put them at. Depending on how he comes back, if Wentz comes back on the same level, they probably win 13 games. But obviously their division is going to be a little better this year. I don't see us sweeping through the division like we did last year for the most part, minus losing a 6-point game to Dallas at junk time, which didn't matter. Yeah. So I got them. And then I know we have a little disagreement on the second place because I have the Cowboys, and you were saying, was it the Giants?
Giants. I like the Giants, yes.
I do like the Giants too. I just don't see them making that big of a jump yet, and I think the Cowboys' defense is good enough to plus they'll have Ezekiel back. That's probably one of the main things, like take the pressure. But Ezekiel only missed 6 games last year. Let's not play like he was gone all season. So, obviously I don't see them beating the Giants both games. I don't see them beating Washington both games, to be honest with you. And I don't see them beating us at all. So it could be a toss-up for that second place. And obviously we both agree that Washington is the bottom of the division. Alex Smith he's a good quarterback, but he's a system quarterback.
Yes.
And he was good under Andy Reid. I mean, I don't think a lot of people – especially Washington fans, paid that much attention to him when he was in San Francisco.
Correct.
Because nobody knew Alex Smith until Harbaugh got there.
That's right.
And he was systematic. And Harbaugh's a product of that same tree. So then he goes and plays for Andy Reid in Kansas City, and they got him for nothing when they traded for him, like literally for nothing. So Washington fans are excited about it because the Cousins drama is over, but I'm like, you didn't get a better quarterback than Cousins, and the rest of your team is still a shit show. So, I don't know. You want to give a bottom prediction, like maybe 5-11?
I will. Here's the problem with Smith is that he is a running back passer. I mean, his wide receivers, 2 years ago, didn't catch a single touchdown pass all year.
Right.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Right.
Okay, and that's what he brings to Washington.
Sure.
And that's not an Andy Reid problem. That's an Alex Smith problem.
Yeah.
And so he's going to bring that to Washington. I believe if they win 5 games, that would be a victory for them.
Sure.
I think that they would be, let's face it, Cousins is a way better quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
He was just in a bad predicament.
And sure.
Now he's made Minnesota a much better team. Although it's an interesting carousel.
Yeah.
But the reality is that the Eagles are the class of that division.
Sure.
I like the Giants because of Saquon Barkley. Now they have that one receiver.
Odell. Yeah. He's back and healthy.
I'm not a fan, but he's good. He's exceptional.
I'm not a fan of the guy, but he is fun to watch play.
Yeah. I'm not an Eli guy either. He's got some talent around him. I think that the Giants are a strong second. The thing about the Cowboys is that, quite frankly, they got no one to catch the ball.
That's a very true statement.
Witten is gone, and Dez is gone. So they got Cole Beasley going down the seam.
Perfect. I'll take that all day.
I'm pretty sure the defensive coordinator is going to figure that out pretty quickly.
Well, and the slot receiver position in general is kind of comical now because it used to be, holy shit, if those guys caught a crossing route, like they're gone.
Yeah.
And nobody touched them. But these linebackers that can actually hang with receivers now, at least enough to slow them down after a catch, and the secondary is so much faster. It'll be interesting to see. And you're definitely not wrong. Obviously, like, I would love to see the Cowboys win no games, and we'll call it a day. But I think that secondary position could be a big toss-up. Either way, I don't see either of those guys getting much over 500.
Yeah.
If the Giants take second, I think it'll be like 9-7. I don't see them winning 10 or 11 games.
Right.
Honestly, 8-8 would be a big victory for them based on what happened last year.
No doubt.
Now, Saquon Barkley is going to be a matchup nightmare. He is like a bulldozer version of Sproles. It's scary.
Yeah.
It's scary. And obviously, him being from Penn State, we got to watch a lot of him. And that's how much we liked him. So That'll be fun to see how that plays out. But I'm with you 100%. I don't think Washington wins more than five games. And if they get there, that'll be that. I think Gruden will be on his way out, like, and probably on the hot seat six games in. Like, when they start out, you know, 2-4 or 1-5, like, I think people are going to start calling for his head. And that's going to be the end of that.
I think they're going to miss Cousins pretty quickly.
I think they will definitely miss Cousins, and they should have just paid him.
Yeah.
Like, in all honesty, like, when it comes down to it, they should have just paid him.
3 years ago, they should have paid him.
Correct. So. And stopped playing the freaking tag game, because then they just ended up tossing him a ton of money that didn't let him get a bunch of other players. It makes no sense to
me.
And if you pay him, and then what, you trade him because you were done with him at some point? Like, at least you get something at this point, you know? I mean, Alex Smith is – back to that point of Alex Smith not having any receivers catching a touchdown, like – Jason Kelce, I mean, that's who I'd be looking for, too, in the end zone. I'm not going to lie. Like, anytime I got in the red zone, I'm looking for Kelce. And, you know, their running backs are always, always dangerous out of the backfield. Andy Reid's always been that way. He loves to get a running back that can catch and speedy. Like, Niles Davis was gnarly in Kansas City. So, I get what he was looking for, but when you have receiver talent like Macklin and guys like that, like, yeah, you should be looking their way.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's that. We're pretty close on that. Let's jump to the North, NFC North. I have Minnesota winning that division, then Green Bay, Detroit, and Chicago.
We're totally in total agreement on that.
That one's perfect.
Absolutely.
I think Minnesota with Cousins is probably back to winning 12 to 13 games.
Yes.
And that's going to be cakewalk for them. Green Bay, obviously with Aaron Rodgers, I'm not counting them out. And we had said earlier that you see them taking that second wild card spot. And I don't disagree with that at all. But that's all they got, Aaron Rodgers. So, that's a difficult one. So that's that. Detroit is just kind of Detroit. I am curious to see what Patricia brings, though. Obviously, being a defensive coordinator, you tend to have good defensive teams and really bad offensive teams.
Uh-huh.
I'm a big Matt Stafford fan.
Yep.
I know a lot of people don't like him, but he's really tough, and the kid's got a freaking arm.
He can sling it with the best of them.
So they just don't have a whole lot else, which is the problem. Same problem. No receiving core. You know, I think Golden Tate's still there. Is that their number one receiver? Who knows? So, you know, they'll be down there. And I am not a fan of Mitch Trubisky. And I don't think that kid is as talented as everyone thinks. He didn't throw multiple touchdown passes in any single game last year.
No, he's not.
And you're not going to win a bunch of games throwing one touchdown. Especially with no defense. No. You got to sling it in that division.
Yeah, it's not as if they have Gale Sayers or Walter Payton running back there.
Yeah.
They're pretty much reliant on Trubisky, and he's second year.
And they lost, you know, it's not like they had Matt Forte a couple years ago. If they would have drafted him a couple years ago and had Matt Forte, you maybe have a little bit better weather because the guy can catch the ball out of the backfield and all that.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't see them winning a whole lot. You got a prediction for Minnesota wins?
I'm going to go with 14 for Minnesota.
Wow.
Yeah, I think they're going to really dominate their division is why.
Sure.
And I don't really like anyone else in that division. The only reason I'm with you with Green Bay is, you know, they've got an amazing quarterback.
Right.
And he can will a win here and there, but I don't think even Rodgers can get him in deep into the playoffs.
And they lost his favorite receiver. I mean, they got rid of Jordy Nelson. That was the worst thing I've ever seen happen.
That was odd.
So, okay, and then at the bottom, Chicago.
Yeah, easy choice.
How many wins do you think they're going to pull in?
Yeah, I'm afraid that Chicago may pull a Giants season.
And big old 2-14. Yeah. I don't have them that bad, but I only have them 4-12 is what I have them at.
Ooh,
so
double
pretty
nine.
Pretty close. So let's jump down to the NFC South. I have Atlanta winning that with New Orleans second, and I have them taking that first wild card spot.
Uh-huh.
No problem. Carolina then Tampa. I think Atlanta is a 13 to 14 win team all day. That team is scary. Now, they got a little hangover going on with Julio Jones, but it's not like he's going to sit out, let's be honest.
Right.
They're going to pay him or figure it out or whatever. They're going to work it out with him. But that team, they were pretty close to beating the Eagles last year.
Oh, yes.
Year. They were very
one
close.
Pass.
Two
one
pass.
Pass.
Yeah, well, yeah, one pass at the very end of the game.
That's
right. You know, that was close. So they're going to be good again.
Yes.
Their division, though, is what scares me. And it's hard to say they're going to win 14 games when they have to play New Orleans twice. And, I mean, if they split with them, that gives them one loss the rest of their schedule. It's easier to say 12, 12 to 13.
I can see them losing three in their own division.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, Carolina is always, always tough.
Sure.
You know, and I gotta have to worry about the Buccaneers. They're not gonna
do anything. Well, no, they're gonna be terrible.
You know, but the reality is that the Saints, as long as you have Breeze, you are good to go.
Sure. So I think Atlanta wins 13-14. You think 12-13?
I like it.
Okay. And then I have New Orleans taking the secondary spot, and I have them a game away from if Atlanta wins 12, I have New Orleans winning 11, and vice versa. If they win, 13, I have New Orleans winning 12. That New Orleans team is going to be scary, and they were already scary last year. Mm-hmm. I do think that defensive coordinators are going to have a whole year to adjust to the tandem of backs, and, you know, obviously Drew Brees is hard to plan for anyway.
They're going to incorporate that RPO system, sure. And you know that with their weapons just in their backfield, not even talking about Brees and his receivers, that's going to be brutal for defensive coordinators.
Sure. So let's say Tampa at the bottom. We both said that already. Yeah. I don't like Tampa anyway. Like, I don't care if they got Jameis Winston for the whole season. Does not matter.
They're not going
to
have him. Trash. He's already out for the first couple
and
of games.
I have a feeling that if who's their backup down there?
Do they have one?
Yes, they do. Who's decent, actually? I can't think of it offhand right now. But anyway,
I can't either.
I'm having a brain fart. Anyway, I think if he wins, two or three of those games that he misses, I think he comes back and sits on the bench.
Wow.
So
wow.
Well, you saw they left him off all their marketing
publications. Yeah.
So they're pretty close to wanting to be done with him anyway, I think. And I think a lot of people feel that way. I've not been a Jameis Winston fan ever. I think taking him over Mariota was probably the worst move in the history of the NFL. Well, maybe not the history of quarterback choices, but it's up there. I mean, look at what Mariota's done at this point, minus the injury issues. Like, if he could stay healthy, he's an amazing quarterback.
Well, what he is an amazing leader.
Correct.
He takes the leadership to a whole new level.
He doesn't play this "I'm still a kid" bullshit that Jameis does. And he's done that since college.
Yeah.
You know, so, I got them winning three games.
Wow. Yeah. I got to jump on that boat. I agree with you that they're gonna struggle to get to five, and I don't even see five in their schedule. I don't.
It's gonna be rough for sure. Let's go to the West. This division is kind of now. If this was Seattle from 3 years ago and Arizona from 3 years ago, this division would probably be the most brutal thing to have to play ever. Yes. So I have the Rams leading that division. They have a bunch of personality on that team, which is going to be interesting to see if a 35-year-old coach can wrangle that all in. Uh-huh. But, man, they were good last year.
And he had no problem putting it all together last year.
And making Goff look like the pick he should have been.
Yeah.
And granted, under Jeff Fisher, nobody looks like they're supposed to. But, I mean, look at the guys. Foles was awful under Jeff Fisher, benched awful.
Yep.
And Goff didn't look like he was even ready to touch the NFL.
At all.
And I don't have a strong feeling that a year break is what gave Goff what he did last year. So, I got them winning. And then I have San Fran. I like Jimmy G a lot. I think they're going to be just a fun team. They're not there yet, obviously. And everyone's like, "Oh, Jimmy G's undefeated." Yeah. And I'm like, well, that's going to change.
Yes.
But he is fun to watch, for sure. And he's got a huge chip on his shoulder after sitting on the bench all those years. So they're not there yet or even close to being able to challenge the Rams, I don't think. But they're going to be fun to watch, for sure. Then I have Seattle and then Arizona, but I'm on the fence about that big time just because Seattle looks like a train wreck this offseason.
Oh, my gosh. It just completely imploded.
They lost everybody. Now they got injury problems, and they got a safety that doesn't want to play unless they pay him.
Right.
So that could flip-flop pretty easy. Arizona is going to depend on what they get out of their quarterback situation. It could be enjoyable. So I got the Rams winning 12 games, going 12-4. Seattle right behind them at 10, which that's mainly because they get to play their division. I think they'll split with the Rams just because I think Jimmy G can air it out against. Okay. But that defensive front on the Rams is scary.
Yep.
And San Francisco does not have an offensive line. Oh, okay. So maybe not 10. I'll give them 9.
Okay,
we'll give them 9.
I thought you said Seattle. So
no, I'm sorry. About San Fran, I think, is 9. Okay, so,
that makes more sense.
And then Seattle, 6? 6-10? And that's just on Russell Wilson's back?
Yes.
Like, he can will that team to win, but the rest of them is going to be shit. And Arizona, maybe 5. Yeah. 5 wins, 4 wins. So, you know.
And that'll be all outside the division.
Correct. Correct. Yeah, those guys are not going to win a division game. Yeah. Seattle and Arizona might win against each other.
No, I go with that.
They might split against each other.
You and I are definitely on the same page in regards to the rankings of each one of them.
Sure.
But I really do think that the best team is the Rams. The most fun team to watch this year, most interesting team to watch, is San Francisco.
Yeah.
But from the exact reverse is Seattle.
Sure.
Because they are going to die. I mean, it's literally gonna be crazy. I've never seen any team explode in that manner. Now, you know, they got rid of some players that they needed to get rid of.
Sure.
And San Francisco's going to find that out.
Yeah.
but,
Sherman. I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm not a fan of him, but I feel like he got kind of thrown under the bus as that.
Oh, I think he did what he had to do.
Sure.
But I think that the truth is that Seattle's done with them anyway.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely. I think he's going to be okay in San Fran.
Okay.
But we'll see. We'll see. And that's the fun part about it. Watch
some of the training tape.
Yes.
And he's getting blown by left.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I don't get into the training stuff because I've seen teams. I remember Eagles going 4-0.
Yeah.
And I also remember going 0-4. And I'm like, oh, my God, we're going to suck. And then they win 12 games.
Right.
I don't. Preseason wise, like I know a lot of people get into it and they're like all about it. I'll watch it just because it's on, but yeah. I don't have a lot of like
you don't put any stock in what.
No,
okay.
I mean it's kind of whatever to me. So
that's fair.
And you know, I mean he's definitely not the same Legion of Boom Sherman. Yeah. So if that's what Seattle or that's what San Fran's expecting, they're going to be they're going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
So, but they will have some safety help and God, that Rams defense though. Oh my God. They were already good, and then they go add, pieces that is just ridiculous.
Well, the reason they were so good is because their coach is the best defensive coordinator in the league.
Oh, sure.
And has been for the last decade.
Yep.
The reason the Broncos won the Super Bowl, it's Wade Phillips.
Yep.
You know, and I know everybody, all the glory names, but Wade Phillips is exceptional. And if you give him a good defense, he will make it exceptional.
Oh, they're going to be good.
Yeah.
And they're going to be insane. That's a lot of... A lot of big names and a lot of big personalities, you know. They added some defense, though. And their secondary is going to be insane. I hate Aqib Talib with a passion, but he's
on
good.
The downside,
I think. He is, but he's got to be an upgrade from a rookie that got blown by slot receivers all year last year.
Yeah.
So, there's a reason the Eagles were able to put up 40 points on him.
Right.
And, granted, they were putting up 30 in the meantime, and they weren't used to that. You know, they were used to – their secondary was able to play how they played last year because they were so far up on teams that they were just having, quarterbacks throwing 50 freaking throws a game to try to catch up to these guys. So they're going to be fun to watch again, I think. So, good, we're on the same boat there.
Yep.
That was it for the NFC. Let's jump over to the AFC. We'll start in the East. I still have the Patriots winning that division.
No brainer.
The rest of them are awful.
Yep.
But I do have the Jets bumping up further than I think a lot of people do.
You like Darnell, don't you?
I do like Darnell. I don't think he's like godsend status like a lot of people do, but I do like him. And I think that's a good step for a Jets team that hasn't had a good quarterback in a long time. And we talked about this last time, but Fitzpatrick was good for a year. And then they decided that we don't really want to pay you. And which I don't necessarily blame him on. Like,
I get
they rented him for another year. And then, of course, he turned into Fitzpatrick after that. But I think that was a good, first step for, an actual build of that team.
Yes.
And I do think he's going to play well. So I think, honestly, they got the steal of the draft by being able to get him where they did.
I do.
You know?
I agree.
I think Cleveland's going to realize that pretty soon. That was just a mess. Anyway, so then Miami and then Buffalo. And the Buffalo thing, they weren't great with Tyrod Taylor, but at least they had a quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. And obviously it's hard to be like, yeah, Miami's going to be good, and they're in the same boat. You know, obviously Tannehill's back, and they're not relying on Jay Cutler to win games, which is always good for everybody.
It's, I think that's a blessing. Broncos
and the Bears and now Miami have all been through that where it was just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So I don't have them winning a lot of games. The Pats I only have winning 10 games. I think 10 and 6. The Jets I have winning 8. Going 500, 8-8,
wow,
which would be a great jump for them, especially under a rookie quarterback, and mainly because I think they sweep Miami and Buffalo, and they grab 4 wins in the division, which would be great, even if they only take 3 of those. Miami I have winning 7 games, and then Buffalo I have winning 5.
We're not far apart. You have to go with the Patriots. That's a no-brainer. But, yeah, I'm actually going with Miami for second.
Okay.
And here's the reason. Because they don't have the Jets and Buffalo Bills coach.
Oh,
and I hate to say that because both of those coaches are from Philadelphia.
I would say that's Philadelphia blood. But is Sean McDermott in Buffalo still? Yes, and then what's the guy's name?
Old defensive coordinator who took over at Midway. And he's a good guy. I love both of them.
Yeah.
They're good, good guys. But as far as their head coaching ability,
sure.
I think that they were promoted just outside of their reach.
McDermott got a bad rap because he came after Jim Johnson.
Well,
and that in Philly was never going to be good unless you were as good as Jim Johnson. And nobody was going to be as good as him.
No.
So, and then I can't remember the dude's name from the Jets. That's drawn a blank. He was secondary coach for the Eagles, though, right?
Well, he took over the defensive coordinator after McDermott.
Yeah. That's right. So both those guys were in a bad stretch. Yes. So anyway, yeah, so we're pretty close on that. So you have Miami, then the Jets, then Buffalo?
Yes, and it's just a coaching decision, and I think that the Jets are on the upswing, no question
definitely
about it. But I think the coach will hold them back ultimately, and I think that they're lucky to get to 500. That's still, an improvement for them. But Buffalo, I think that they have an amazing running back, which and I'm a little bit biased. Other than McCoy, they just don't have a lot to play with.
They really don't. Really, and then getting rid of Tyrod Taylor. I'm not a huge Tyrod Taylor fan by any means, but
he was serviceable.
Where did you go after that? I don't see them. And, their defense is good. They have a decent defense, but it's not going to be enough to win them games.
No.
We're on the same path there. Let's jump to the North. We'll jump there next because I think Pittsburgh is probably hands down that division.
You bet.
I actually have Cleveland as my second team, though.
Nice.
Which is a huge jump for them.
Yeah.
Mainly because I don't trust Baltimore. I don't trust Flacco. And I do have them next, and then I have Cincinnati in the basement. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, Andy Dalton is worn out. Like, the kid was really good for a short while, and they missed any chance of taking advantage of that. Like, they had there where they were better than Pittsburgh.
Yes.
And that's not going to happen again. And Pittsburgh is retooled every year, and they haven't. They just, let's rely on Vontaze Burfict to not get suspended. And hopefully Andy Dalton can find these, other than AJ Green, find these guys off the bench that don't exist anywhere.
Yeah.
So, Pittsburgh, I think, is going to be good. I'm curious to see how this Le'Veon Bell thing plays out. But regardless, they're – I'm a huge Juju Smith fan, and I'm a huge fan of Antonio Brown. Although I did see he got injured and went back to Pittsburgh for their last preseason or for that first preseason game. He's back in Pittsburgh.
I did not realize from training. I missed that.
Doesn't sound like it's anything serious though. So, and I haven't looked up to it, and I haven't seen it breaking on any news sites anywhere. So I'm sure it's I sprained an ankle or hamstring, not stretched out enough, dehydrated. But the fact that he's back and that they sent him back to Pittsburgh is a little worrisome. But I don't think it's going to be anything serious. I'm not a Ben Roethlisberger fan. I don't think you are either.
No.
I think he's benefited from some really good defenses and just some mediocre play. I don't like that he gets thrown into the elite conversation just because he has Super Bowl rings. But he does have Super Bowl rings.
Yes.
So, I think they're good enough to win 12 games this year, especially in that division.
Yes.
That division is bad. But I do have Cleveland winning 7 games,
nice,
which I think is going to be It could happen. They really could.
I would love to see it. I have to be honest with you. I really would like to see it.
So, and I actually have them tied with Baltimore. I think Baltimore wins 7 games, but I also think it's because they give Lamar Jackson the reins.
Wow.
So
that's a big move.
I think Flacco is going to play the first 6-7 games, okay, and fans are going to be like, we are fed up with this, and we are absolutely done waiting for this dude to play. It's going to be, Cal Herd called it another Tebow situation, where the fans are calling for Lamar, and he plays a lot like Tebow, so that would be interesting. I don't know if you watched their first preseason game against the Bears.
I didn't, but I am familiar with Lamar, and I'll tell you that I believe that to be true, that he is a much better option than Flacco, but that being said, so are literally 16 other quarterbacks in the NFL.
True.
Flacco hasn't done a squat since he won the Super Bowl. Since they won the Super Bowl.
And he benefited from a really good running back.
Exceptional defense, again.
From really, really good, really, really good defense, for sure, no doubt, and, a good running back. So let's say, but, yeah, I think Lamar Jackson takes the reins at some point in the season. And maybe it's not enough to get him to a winning record, which obviously I don't have him at.
Uh-huh.
But maybe it is. Who knows? Cincy in the basement, I think, wins 6 games and you call it a day kind of deal. So, AFC South. Let's see. We got Houston winning that division, I think. And I'm a big Deshaun Watson fan. I was a big fan of him in college. He was fun to watch play, and the fact that he got Clemson, there is a whole nother story. This division is actually kind of intriguing for me, too, because obviously Andrew Luck being back just automatically puts Indy in the good realm.
Yes.
Mariota obviously should be back and healthy, and then Jacksonville. They're the weakest team quarterback-wise in the division, which is insane because I have them second in the division.
Yep.
Just the rest of that team is so good. So good, So it should be fun. This division should be really fun this year.
It will be interesting. So. And it usually is interesting.
Oh, yeah.
But they have one of two teams I believe will make it in the AFC to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Jacksonville and Pittsburgh. And I know that's they were both went deep in the playoffs this year.
Sure.
That being true, they have the tools. And if you can go that far with Blake Bortles... I mean, that's impressive.
I was really shocked that they didn't make a play for a quarterback. And I know they wanted to show Bortles that they had faith in him.
Uh-huh.
And who knows? Maybe that's a really good move. And this year he puts it together because he did have a good year last year. And he was fun to watch.
Yeah.
I'm
gonna say he had a reasonable year.
Yeah. There was
good for him.
Sure. For him, it was really good. Yeah, yeah. So, Leonard Fournette though. Was an absolute monster last year. And there was a bunch of running backs that were good, but he stood out.
He did.
And obviously their defense is amazing.
Lights out.
So, I think everybody laughed at Jalen Ramsey when he said they were going to go to the Super Bowl. And then when they got to the championship game, people were like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
This kid might be right. So, I have them. The only reason I have Houston above them is just because – I think they match up with Jacksonville better than Jacksonville matches up with Houston.
They do.
And at the quarterback position specifically, obviously you can go to J.J. Watt and you can go to those guys, but I think it strictly comes down to Deshaun Watson being that much better than Blake Bortles already.
I agree. I completely agree with that.
And then I have Indy next because I think with Andrew Luck back, it's hard to say that Tennessee is going to be really bad. But I don't think either of them are going to be really bad. I have them both winning 6 games, 6-10. And that's just because Andrew Luck doesn't have a lot of weapons.
Yes.
They do have some good receivers, though.
I'm even questioning if Luck is going to be back.
Sure. Well,
that's the reality.
That's true.
So we'll see.
Because I listen to, Pat McAfee and those guys who are in Indy, they've seen him throw and they seem to think he's going to be fine.
Okay,
so
good.
Going off that, maybe they win 7 games and they're back a little bit. And same thing with Tennessee. I would love nothing more for Mariota to just come out slinging and they win, 10 games. I just don't see it in that division and in the AFC on top of that.
Exactly.
So, that puts us at our last, the AFC West. And I know we're going to probably clash here a little bit more so than anything. I got the Chargers winning the division. And I know a lot of other people do too. I'm not as high on them as everybody else. I don't see them winning 12 games like everyone seems to think. I just don't think the rest of that division is very good.
They're terrible. So, I think everyone in that division is terrible.
So they do, I say 11 games. They go 11-5.
That's a pretty good year for them.
And I don't think it's ever been Phillip Rivers' fault.
Nope.
As much as like a lot of people like to throw blame at him, I think he belongs in the more, I don't want to say elite. I don't like to throw. In my opinion, there's three elite quarterbacks in the NFL, and it's Breeze, Brady, and I don't want to throw Roethlisberger in there, but maybe Roethlisberger. Who else? Anybody else in your opinion that's elite?
No.
Rodgers?
No. Well, yeah, I'm going to go with Rodgers.
I would say.
Yeah, I'm going to give him. But I'm going to replace Roethlisberger with Rodgers.
With Rodgers. That's exactly what I was just going to say. I think Rodgers, Breeze, and Brady are, yeah, in my opinion, the only elite quarterbacks in the NFL.
Isn't that funny? Two of them are over 40?
Yes. It's insane. And Breeze is still like, yo, let me go throw for 600 yards a game out here. So, yeah, I have the Chargers winning the division. And then I have Kansas City. And it's hard because I don't have a lot of faith in Patrick Mahomes. But I do have a lot of faith in Andy Reid. And that's coaching-wise, you know, I don't like Vance Joseph. I don't think he's a good coach.
Mm.
And Oakland, I think their chance there where they had that team that legit could win 12 games is gone. You know, and I'm a huge Carr fan. Huge Carr fan. I love the kid. When he went down with that knee injury in the playoffs, I almost cried for him. I felt so bad for him. So, yeah, Chargers, Kansas City, 9 games. I think they win 9 games and take second spot. And that's strictly on the fact that I think Andy Reid can work wonders with what they have.
Yeah.
And who knows? Mahomes could be good. From what I've seen of his practice tape and like this year and from what I'm hearing, like he doesn't look great.
Mm.
But again, it's practice.
Yeah.
And you're practicing with guys that practice with you all the time and know your tendencies and know what you're looking at. You know, so who knows? Who knows what happens with him? After that, then I have Denver, and I only have them winning 7 games. I don't see them being a great team again. I think Vance Joseph ends up on the hot seat probably 7 games in, because I think, A, I think Elway is very impatient, and B, I think the Broncos fans are very impatient, especially after having, you know, that defense that they had, like, and see it kind of. It's not like that defense has dismantled itself.
Right.
They lost a few players.
They lost their coach. That's what killed
bingo.
Them.
Bingo. Yeah. Well, and that was another dumbass move by the Broncos. I have Oakland in the bottom, but I think them and Denver could easily flip-flop spaces.
Okay.
But I don't see either of them winning a ton of games. Mm-hmm. I think 7 is probably the peak. And I really, really want Gruden to go out there and win 10 games with this Oakland team. I just don't think this team is built to win 10 games. That secondary is probably the most porous secondary in the league.
Again.
You know, so it's frustrating.
We're not as far apart as you think, actually.
Yeah.
I like Kansas City to take the division, but I don't see them winning double digits. You know, I think that they're going to win the division at 9-7.
Wow.
Sure. Oddly enough, I like the Chargers. Also at 9-7.
Okay.
But I just think that, you know, head-to-head, Kansas City will take care of that.
Sure.
As far as third place, Oakland, I think that Gruden will will his team to an 8-8 season.
Wow. That would be awesome.
He's a good coach.
He's an amazing coach. Yeah. And we talked about this in the last one, actually, and you'll hear that later. But everyone wants to hate on him because he hasn't coached in a decade.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, but he hasn't been gone.
Yeah.
You know, he's broadcasting.
Been involved, yes.
The Gruden QB camp was up until last year was still a thing. This is the first year it hasn't happened, obviously because he's coaching.
He's busy.
Yeah. You know, so I don't see them being as awful as everyone thinks they're going to be. But that team also isn't built to be great. So, you know, 8-8 is pretty decent.
The reason I like Gruden is because when he took Tampa Bay to the Super Bowl, he really took two teams to the Super Bowl.
Sure.
The previous year he was coaching the Oakland Raiders and he built that team.
Uh-huh.
His team went to the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
So he went to Tampa Bay. He polished off Tony Dungy's team. They went to the Super Bowl. He literally coached both of those teams to the Super Bowl. He can do it.
Well, I mean, Rich Gannon, for God's sake.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, come on now.
The question really is how are the players of today going to respond to his his style of coaching.
Sure.
Like they did back then.
Well, but hopefully they're not a bunch of babies, you know.
Denver's not going to win five games, and Vance will be gone by game six.
That's what I said earlier. I said Vance will be gone. I don't know if they cut him that soon, but you may be right. He's gone this year regardless.
He was a terrible pick. Yep. Let's be honest.
Uh-huh.
He was a pick. He had no choice but to get rid of Phillips because he is a defensive coordinator.
Correct.
Phillips had to go, and that was the second disaster about that whole situation.
I get not wanting to make Wade Phillips a head coach. Like, I understand after what happened in Dallas. I get that. And in Houston, actually, when he was defensive coordinator, that defense wasn't that good. I mean, they were decent, but they weren't like a Wade Phillips defense that you're used to seeing.
Right.
But why would you want to get rid of him after what that defense looked like in the Super Bowl? It's ridiculous.
They didn't win that Super Bowl because of Peyton Manning.
Hell no. They didn't win that whole year Peyton Manning looked like a, you know, like a middle round pick that was just like, I'm just going to throw a little bit here.
Yep.
If I throw 150 yards a game, we'll be okay. Don't turn the ball over.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's exactly what they did, and they got a Super Bowl for it. But I think it's going to be another bad year for them.
Yep.
Like you said, I think he's gone. He's gone early, real early.
Yeah, if he makes it six games, it would be surprising. Yeah,
he was a horrible pick anyway. Yeah. And for me, like, to see Elway make that pick, I was lost. I was lost from the beginning when they started talking about him. I'm like, with all these other guys on the market, you want Vance Joseph? You're telling me that's your pick?
Defensive coordinator for the Miami Dolphins.
Right.
Because Miami Dolphins are so incredibly amazing.
They've been stellar. Absolutely stellar. So I'm with you 100% on that for sure. So, like I said, I had Oakland at the very bottom, but that could flip flop easily. I actually had them tied at 6 wins apiece. So we're basically on the same boat anyway. Yeah. So we agreed a lot. My future co-host, if you will, or whatever you want to call him, Cecil's going to put in his predictions probably here in the next week so I can get those from him and see, see what he's going to say. I have a feeling because he's a huge Broncos fan that he's going to disagree with us a little bit on that last division, but we'll see. That's pretty much it as far as this section goes for today. I appreciate you chatting with me about the history of how we became sports fans and what we went over. And then, of course, the predictions are always fun.
Absolutely.
And just like our dumpster hierarchy, we will come back and visit these throughout the year. I'm hoping that Dad joins me here for hopefully kind of through the football season.
Anytime.
And we can kind of do this because this was fun for me for football. And maybe we can get him to talk into some other sports too. We can get his hockey opinion and, of course, baseball. We didn't get to talk about the Phillies this time, so you're definitely coming back to talk about the Phillies.
Yes.
And what Boston's doing and, God.
Wow.
We're going to discuss a few things baseball-wise because, you know, I think they need to do something to make themselves relevant again with a younger crowd. But there's also a lot of good stuff going on with baseball.
It really is.
So we'll have you back to discuss that for sure. And I also think we're going to do a couple more parts of our background stories kind of deal and get into that a little more.
So
we appreciate you guys listening big time. You can find us on Spotify now. We're out there. Or on our Facebook page, I have links to everywhere you can get us. So anywhere you listen to your podcast, you can hear us. You know, Google, whatever you like, you can hear us. So we definitely appreciate taking the time to listen to us, bullshit with us. Again, hit us up on Twitter, @FlapjackSteve. You can send me some DMs. I would love to get some messages from you guys that we can bullshit about on the air. And like I said, I will feature whoever you want. And if the question or whatever you want to bring up is good enough, I would love to have a call with you and record it and get it on the air. So make sure you shout us out. Like I said, we definitely appreciate you listening to us. This is just kind of a fun thing for us right now. And it's a blast being able to kind of bullshit sports with whoever we want. So if you're a Cowboys fan, we will even listen to your stuff. So shout us out. Give us a shout. Message us. Tweet us. Whatever you want to do. This is us signing off for the night. Have a good night, folks. Everybody.